بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's lesson, we will be discussing the sins of the abdomen. Among the sins of the abdomen are to consume the money of usurious gain, al-riba, to consume the money of others taken from them by force, al-ghasb, to consume the money of stealing, al-sariqa, to consume anything taken through a deal unlawful by the Islamic law. So in our lesson, we will be discussing the sins of the abdomen. The abdomen is one of the seven organs other than the heart, categorized as doing sins. These organs are the tongue, the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, the stomach, and the private parts. Inshallah ta'ala, in our forthcoming lessons, we will be discussing the sins of each organ. We spoke about the sins of the heart, and inshallah ta'ala, tonight we'll talk about the sins of the abdomen, the stomach, and in our future lessons, we will be discussing the rest, inshallah. Among the sins of the abdomen is for one to consume what Allah made forbidden. Consuming is not exclusive to eating. It includes benefiting. We must not consume anything that Allah made prohibited for us to consume. Maybe you hear the term in Arabic when they say, أَكْلُ الرِّبَى أَلَّذِي يَأْكُلُ الرِّبَى. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. So, يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى. آكِلَ الرِّبَى here is not restricted to eating. That means something that you consume and eat, you take into your stomach. Here, آكِلَ الرِّبَى means getting any benefit to you through the way of riba. To get any benefit through the way of riba is considered as aklu riba. For instance, you might say to a person, I lend you $10,000 as you're requesting, but from now till you pay me back, I need to live in your house for free. This is a type of riba. Now, although this person is not eating the house, he is getting a benefit through the way of riba. This is considered as aklu riba. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La'ana Allahu akil al-riba," he wasn't talking about eating. Like if you, for instance, lend someone, let us say, an amount of wheat, then you say to him, "I want him double," or you lend him an amount of dates, and you ask for extra, and you got this extra and you ate it. Now you are eating al-riba. But when the Prophet said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى, he wasn't talking about only eating, something that you can get it through the way of riba and eat it. No, it includes this one, this type, and any other type of riba. So when you consume anything through the way of riba, this is considered as akl al-riba. So here, because sometimes a person would get something through the way of riba, and he eats it, so he gets it inside his stomach, the scholars included this and considered this as among the sins of the stomach, the sins of the abdomen. So first, if you get some money or food through the way of riba, through usurious gain, and that is called a riba, it's haram for you to consume it. Also, in the past, the bandits used to attack people on their way in trouble, and they would say to them, "How we need a percentage on your goods." So they take 10%, for instance, from their goods, and by force, by threatening. So they use the force and they threaten these people. If they don't pay the 10% on their goods, then they will kill them, or they will take their goods, or anything else. So in this case, what they are taking, the 10%, and they're consuming that thing, this is considered among the sins of the abdomen. Also, a person might be controlling an area. Let us say there is something like a marketplace. People are selling, they have shops. Also, you know, some gangs would go to these people and they say to them, "You need to pay us every month 1,000, let us say. If you don't do so, we'll burn your shop. We won't let you stay here, we kill you." So yeah, that person would give them money every month because he is threatened. Now, such a money they taken, if they consume it, this is considered among the sins of the abdomen. It was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the first part to decompose in the grave is one's abdomen. So if you want to put in that container what is evil, then know that the first thing that will decompose in your grave is your abdomen. Do not let anything that is haram go into your body. Do not get the nutrition for your body from haram. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Kullu lahmin nabata min suhtin fannaru awla bihi." And this means that hellfire is more deserving of any flesh that grows from haram. That means that the person who takes the money of others unjustly and he buys food, let us say, from this money that is haram, and he's making his body grow from that haram money, then let him know that hellfire is waiting for such a person. That means he's under the great threat to be tortured in hellfire on the day of judgment. It was narrated that one day Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the first caliph, was with his servant. Then he was very hungry. His servant went and got some food. As Imam Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu put the first bite, he took the first bite of that food, swallowed it. That servant said to him, "You didn't ask me this time. How did I get this food?" Which is something unusual, because usually Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu used to ask, because he was very, very cautious to know from what source this person is getting the food. He wants to make sure 100% it's from halal. Look at the difference now between Abu Bakr and many people living these days. They don't care about whether it is halal food or non-halal food. Now Abu Bakr used to ask the servant usually, "From where did you get them?" This time he didn't ask him. That servant said to him, "You didn't ask me this time." He said, "I was very hungry." So he was dominated by hunger. That's why he didn't ask him. Then Abu Bakr said, tell me, how did you get him? He told him. And the way Abu Bakr found out that that person got it from a non-halal way. It's a haram way. When Abu Bakr knew that it was from haram, he put his finger inside his mouth, trying to force himself to vomit. Maybe he can take this bite out. He tried, he couldn't. Then they said to him, you can't take it out except if you drink water. So he grabbed like a container filled with water. He started drinking from that water and forcing himself to vomit. And he suffered from this until he was able to take this bite out. They said to him, you were about to kill yourself. He said, and that is because he was very cautious. He's not obligated to do so, but he was doing so out of his fear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was narrated that he said to them, if it didn't come out except with my soul, I would have done it. That means he was very cautious and concerned about not letting one bite that is from haram to stay inside his stomach. He forced himself to throw it out, and that wasn't easy for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You can see how the level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such people. They were very, very, very God-fearing people. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the best person, human being, after all the prophets. So exclude all the prophets, the best person out of all human beings is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he's the best person in this nation after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the level of care to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very high, different from what you see these days. Now these people don't care like how they get the money. All what they want to get the money. That's all. Take for an example, for instance, if someone bought a car, for instance, that was damaged, then he fixed this car. If he wants to sell it, Islamically he has to tell the buyer that this car was damaged and I fixed it up. He has to tell him. Why? Because the price of the damaged car that has been repaired is not as the same of the car that hasn't been damaged at all. The price is different. That's why you have to tell him. Many people, like, they would buy half a car, would buy another half later on, then they put them together and they will have a car, they paint it, and many people don't know that this car has been repaired and fixed from that big accident, for instance. They would sell it without telling them that this car has been in a car accident. They don't tell this. Now they hide the truth. Why? Because they want to make money. Now they take money in a non-halal way. That's called cheating. They are cheating them because Islamically they have to tell them. They don't do this, they don't care. All what they care about is to get more money for the item without explaining to the buyer the defects in this car. And this is Islamically unlawful. Also among the sins of the abdomen is to consume alcohol. Now the one who consumes alcohol, that is an intoxicating drink, whether an intoxicating amount or not, is punished according to the shara' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person deserves a punishment. Now the prohibited alcohol has a specific definition in Islam. Al-Bukhari narrated that our master Umar, may Allah raise his rank, mentioned this definition by saying, Al-Khamru ma khamar al-aql, which means wine is the drink which influences the mind. That means it causes ecstasy to the mind. That's called Al-Khamr Islamically. Now, everything that changes the mind, causing intoxication, is a prohibited drink. Even if a person does not reach this state except after drinking a big amount of it, it is still prohibited for this person to drink even one sip of it. Now, some people might say, I'm just drinking one bottle of beer or one can of beer and it doesn't make me intoxicated. It is still haram. Now, one sip is haram of any intoxicating drink that when consumed by a huge amount would cause the person to be intoxicated. Then drinking little amount of it is Islamically forbidden. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in explaining this, said, مَا أَسْكَرَ الْفَرَقُ مِنْهُ فَمِلْءُ الْكَفِّ مِنْهُ حَرَامٌ. And this means if the drink does not intoxicate until one consumes a whole faraq of it, then drinking even a handful of it is prohibited, just one handful, which is less than one can. A faraq is a big container which is equal to 16 Baghdadi rittles, which is about 6 liters. Imagine if there is a drink that is intoxicating, but you only get intoxicated when you drink 6 liters of it, which is a big amount. Then to drink what is equivalent to a handful of it is Islamically prohibited. Even one sip is prohibited. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us an example in this hadith, that if there is an intoxicating drink, but you don't get intoxicated until you drink a big amount of it, then a very small amount of it is prohibited, even one sip of it. Also, to consume whatever is intoxicating, najas, filthy, or revolting. So in addition to what we mentioned, it is not permissible to consume any substance which renders one's mind dysfunctional, even if it does not cause intoxication. And this includes marijuana, that's a type of plant. They plant it, then they smoke it. It causes ecstasy for them. They feel that the head is numb, the limbs are numb, for instance. They become in, as they say, in a different mood or high esteem, for instance. Now, taking such a substance is Islamically forbidden. Now, although it's not a drink that is intoxicating, but it is something that influences the mind. That's why it is forbidden. Opium as well, cocaine, and the ecstasy pills, anything they take that would cause ecstasy to the mind or it influences the mind in such a way is Islamically forbidden. Also, to consume a najas, filth substance is among the sins of the abdomen. Examples: to drink blood or eat frozen blood. In Europe, they would get the blood, they would freeze the blood, then sell it in the supermarket. People would buy it and eat it. Now, this is forbidden. Why? Because the blood is najas, filthy najas substance. It's haram for a person to eat it. Now, when you slaughter a sheep, you don't eat the blood that is coming out. It's harmful to the body. That's why you slaughter it by cutting these veins, main veins. And when cutting or slaughtering an animal in that way, an edible animal in that way, the blood will gush out. So you leave until the blood comes out of it, it becomes healthy. And this is for a wisdom, because eating blood is harmful to the body. It's haram to eat blood. So in some countries in Europe, they do this. They would get this blood, put them in like bags, whatever, and freeze them. then they sell them in the supermarket. It's haram. Also, to consume any meat or fat extracted from pigs. Now, you can't eat anything that is extracted from pigs, whether it is from the intestines of pigs, from the flesh, from the fat, from the actual meat. It's haram for one to eat them. Now, even if the amount of meat or fat of that pig that exists in any other type of food is very, very little, it is still haram. Even if it's a very small amount. Unfortunately, a person in Europe made a conference. He gathered some people and he made a conference for them. Then he issued a statement by the end of the conference and he said to people that you are allowed to eat any food that contains pig fat in it or any meat extracted from pigs as long as the percentage is not more than 0.1%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. It's haram to eat it. Whether the percentage of that pig meat is very little or it's very high, doesn't matter. A person is considered in this case as eating and consuming the pig meat. And this such a person deserves a torture in the hereafter. Because in the previous nations as well, consuming pig meat was forbidden as well. All the prophets warned their followers against eating the pig meat. So none of the prophets allowed this to his people. All of them said to them, it's haram to consume the pig meat. All of them. That's why a person has to make sure he won't touch any type of food that contains any pig extracts from it. Also, al-mayta. And this is the improperly killed edible animal. Any edible animal that was not slaughtered according to the Islamic way, and when it dies in a different way, let us say it died because it suffocated, then it died, or it died because someone killed it in a way that is not Islamically accepted, then such an edible animal will no longer be halal to be consumed. If a person, let us say, had a farm, and one day he woke up in the morning, he's checking on his cattle, for instance, he found one of them dead, he can't slaughter and make it halal. That's it, it's dead. He can't consume it. So when you want to purchase any meat, you have to be very careful. You have to make sure what you're buying is halal, fully halal. This needs, brothers, one to be a God-fearing person. And let them remember that the worst thing you feel is your stomach. That's why make sure what you want to eat is halal. Many people now, they say, there are people in Australia that are considered as Ahlul Kitab. Ahlul Kitab. And even if they, whatever they do, when they have meat, we can eat from their slaughtering. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Allah said, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. So a person would say, we can eat from their slaughterings. That's right. We can eat from their slaughterings if they slaughter according to the Islamic way. But if they kill it in any different way, which is not considered as halal Islamically, then it won't be halal. Now, some other people went further and they said to people, if you want to eat it, say Bismillah and that's it, it will be halal. Now, saying Bismillah on the food that is not halal does not make that food halal. If a person wants to eat pork, can you say Bismillah and eat pork? No. Saying Bismillah does not make it halal. So why you say Bismillah? You say Bismillah if you want to eat, for instance, rice. We say Bismillah and eat because it's sunnah to say Bismillah before eating. So whether you are eating meat or something else, it is sunnah to say Bismillah. But when the meat is halal. But if the meat is haram, you can't say Bismillah and eat it. Even some scholars from the school of Abi Hanifa radiallahu anhu said if there is non-halal food such as pig meat, for instance, if you say Bismillah and you eat it, you commit blasphemy, they said. They said if a person wants to drink alcohol and he says Bismillah before drinking alcohol, they said he commits blasphemy. Because he's saying Bismillah on something that is haram. For that reason. Now other scholars gave more detail about this specific case. They said, if a person says Bismillah before drinking alcohol, if his intention was to be protected from the harm in that drink, then he doesn't commit kufr, but it's still haram. He can't say this. But if his intention was to seek blessings by that drink, he commits blasphemy, walayyadhu billahi ta'ala. Some people say, we say Bismillah and we eat. They go to all these shops, halal and halal, they don't care. They say Bismillah and they eat. Why? They want to fill their stomach. And the first thing that gets decomposed in the grave is one's stomach. That's why you have to make sure what you are putting inside this stomach. They say, we say Bismillah. And some of them mention a hadith, but the hadith is not proof for what they say. In fact, it's against what they say. But they mention it. They mention a story that Aisha radiallahu anha, this is a hadith. Aisha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are people, listen to this, there are people who embraced Islam recently. So they are what? They are Muslims. They embrace Islam recently. They slaughter and they bring us this meat. We don't know whether they said Bismillah when they slaughtered or not. So first, the wife of the Prophet Aisha radiallahu anha is asking the Prophet about what a group of people, Muslims, embrace Islam recently. They slaughter according to the Islamic way. They bring the meat to them, but Aisha is not sure about what, whether they said Bismillah upon slaughtering or they didn't. She's not sure about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, you say Bismillah and eat. When the Prophet said, say Bismillah and eat, he meant, this food is halal. You say Bismillah because you say Bismillah before eating. That's in general. So when he said, say Bismillah, the Prophet did not mean that that meat was not halal, and by you saying Bismillah, you are making it halal. No. And Aisha was not asking the Prophet about a group of people that are non-Muslims, number one. Number two, she did not say, we don't know how they slaughtered, or did they slaughter according to the Islamic way or not. Now she wasn't asking about this. They were Muslims, they used to slaughter according to the Islamic way, but she wasn't sure whether they used to say Bismillah or not upon slaughtering. And for that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied by saying, say Bismillah and eat. Another hadith that is stronger as proof that when you have doubt, you can't eat that meat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you were hunting, and you hit the target, whatever it is, any edible animal, you hit the target with your arrow, you went to get it, you found it dead in water. You found it dead in water. So you hit it with that arrow. If it's sharp, Islamically you can use the bow and arrow to kill or to hunt an edible animal. So let us say you hit that target, let us say a D for instance, you hit it with the arrow and you want to get it, you found it in a pond filled with water and it was dead. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then added by saying, then you did not know, how did it die? Did it die because of your arrow? Or did it drown in water? So you're not sure here. You had a doubt. When you kill it with the arrow, then you find it in water dead, then there are two probabilities. Maybe it died because of your arrow, and maybe it died because of drowning. So you're not sure about how it died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then because of that doubt, it's haram for you to consume it. Very clear hadith, very explicit hadith that shows when you have doubt about the way this meat was prepared and the animal was slaughtered, then because of that doubt, you are not allowed to eat that type of meat. When you have doubt, because when you see a piece of meat on the street, originally you say, no, this meat is not halal, because you don't know how it was slaughtered, unless you know that it was slaughtered according to the Islamic way. So basically, first, you don't touch it unless you know for sure that it was slaughtered according to the Islamic way. Especially when you are living in a country where there are people who are allowed Islamically to slaughter, and there are other people who are not allowed Islamically to slaughter. If there is one who is an atheist, doesn't believe in God, if he slaughters a sheep, you can't eat that sheep. Only when a Muslim or a person from the people of the book, Christians and Jews, slaughter, then you are allowed to eat it. And the person also, upon slaughtering, he must not mention other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person mentions other than the name of Allah, then that animal wouldn't be halal as well. So if a person upon slaughtering says in the name of, instead of saying Allah, he mentioned a name of a person, then this slaughtering won't be considered as halal. So this is one matter that a person has to be sure about it if he wants his body to grow from halal only. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. He was very cautious. He didn't want to leave one haram bite in his stomach. And he wanted to throw it out. And he was forcing himself to vomit just to throw it out, because he didn't want to keep it inside his body. Now people would go for the cheaper. People would go to a person just because he wrote halal. These days you can't trust people who just write halal. There are methods that are halal, methods that are not halal, like these machines and killing by these guns. This is not halal. So that's why when you find meat in any shop, now you say this meat is not halal until I find out that it is for sure halal. So this is the way you measure things. You don't say, I don't know, so I consider it as halal. No, you don't know, that means it's haram. Unless you are sure that it is halal. Tell this person, if they tell you probably this meat is poisoned. Probably. There is 1% probability, chance, that this meat could be poisonous. Would he eat that meat? He doesn't eat it. There's 1% chance that it could be poisonous, he won't eat it. But if he says there is 50% chance that this meat is not halal, he would say, I don't know, so I'm going to eat it. That's what people do these days, unfortunately. So a person has to be very cautious in the matters of meat. He has to make sure it is really halal. Don't get satisfied with the writings because they say halal meat, that's it. You go and you believe that person. You have to find out. They told me of a person Chinese butchery, and the person there, the butcher, he realized that people are going to the shop owned by a Muslim person and they buy from him. He started watching. He wants to find out the reason why they go to him, they don't come to this person. And although he's selling it for cheaper, he realized in the end that they don't buy unless the meat is halal. And to be halal, that means he thought you have to write halal. So he brought tags and he put halal, halal, halal. And in one of these tags, it was written halal pork. And he put it on the pork. He said halal pork. Why? He wants people just to buy. So you can't believe these days a person for just writing halal. You have to find out. And you have to be clever when asking. Because if you go to some people and you ask them, is this halal? In most cases, he's going to say, yes, it is halal, because he wants to sell it to you. No, you don't ask such a question. You need to be smarter than this. Try to find out from where he's buying the meat. Try to find out, tell him, show me your papers. I need to know. That's why, brothers, we advise you to be very cautious when going to any restaurant to eat meat, when buying meat, make sure this is from halal, because your body, if it grows from haram, then know that hell is more deserving to such a person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who fear Allah, inshaAllah ta'ala, in everything, and to make us among those who stay away from sinning, no matter what happens, inshaAllah ta'ala, and make us die as pious Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.